This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Hey you, yeah you, on the job site. Did you know that a big portion of people who listen to Joy at work, just like you? Right now, times are very tough financially, and without your support, Joy may not be around to help you through your work day. So tell your workmates, your next door neighbour, and even your mum to head over to joy.org.au and help us build Joy Nation by making a donation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
A unique mix of world news and queer culture, Saturday Magazine, every Saturday, 10 till 12 on Joy 94.9.
You're on Saturday Magazine with me co-hosting. My name's Katie and I'm with Macca.
Our next guest is Stephen Duckett. Stephen is the Health and Aged Care Program Director at the Grattan Institute and a regular guest on the program. Good morning, Stephen, and happy 2022.
Morning, Macca. Thank you.
And, you know, you've written COVID. You know, we've sort of avoided it for the first part of the show pretty much, but you've written a piece for The Guardian, headed Complete Collapse of Leadership, Australia's Recent COVID Response Amounts to World-Class Bungling. It is, isn't it? It's you couldn't make this stuff up, can you?
Macca, more or less, the Commonwealth Government, I think, has the reverse Midas touch. Everything it touches turns to a mess. And it made one good decision in the pandemic to close the borders to China right at the start, and everything else it's done has been a complete stuff-up.
Why do you think that is, Stephen? Now, I mean, at the beginning of the pandemic, you know, I think we can all certainly, you know, not so much with hindsight, but we could all understand this is a new area. Yes, there's a lot of procedures that we think we need to follow, but we need to work this out a little bit. You know, so mistakes were made, but almost two years on, what's the excuse now?
So I think there's been a very large component of ideology in all of this and politics. And so if you think back to 2020, the pandemic was essentially being managed by the states. The state premiers and the state chief health officers were doing media conferences every day, and it was really the spotlight, the media spotlight was on them. And then, and so the Commonwealth basically was a bystander in the health response. They were the lead of the economic response, but they were a bystander on the health response. And so I think the Commonwealth said, okay, we want to get part of the action and we want to lead the action. And that's where I think some of the problems started, because the Commonwealth doesn't have feet on the ground. Unlike the states, which actually run things like hospitals, the Commonwealth doesn't. It pays for things. And so it wasn't well set up to actually do what it wanted to do, and it also took a very political approach. I mean, in the middle of 2020, for example, the federal health minister slapped the Liberal Party logo on his announcements about vaccine procurement.
Yeah. I mean, when we look at it, Stephen, and most recently with, and I love the term, the rat tests, that governments knew this was coming, and I give this little slap to both state and federal governments. They knew it was coming. They knew they needed to source them. And all of a sudden they decide, okay, well, we're now going to use these. You don't need to have pathology tests. We're now going to use these. We haven't actually worked out how you're going to notify us you're infected. We actually haven't got a system where you can get the tests. So you just think, well, what were you thinking, guys? Like, I don't get it. I just don't get it.
So the rapid antigen test is an interesting case study. So my daughter lives in London, and back in April, the NHS in London said, we are going to give you free rapid antigen tests. So this was back in April, and they said that if you're symptomatic, these are not for you. What these are for is if you want to protect other people. If you haven't got any symptoms, but you're going to go out and start mixing, you might be going to go to university, or you might be going to go to a lunch with friends. Use the test to see if you're infectious, and if you're infectious, stay at home. So it was entirely a public health measure, entirely for the benefit of others, and it was entirely free. And that was back in April. And so, you know, other countries, Singapore, would be doing the same. And so we're now in a situation where 8 months after other countries were doing it, we're suddenly realising that rapid antigen tests have a place in a public health response. It's absolutely crazy.
And what the UK did, you know, their tests had a QR code on them. So, you know, if you did test positive, you could advise the NHS here. Oh, well, actually, what we're going to do is we're going to set up this system. It's not there yet, but, you know, it took a few days, even though they'd known, you know, where you notify. It just not making them free. Or so if I'm in Victoria, Stephen, and I suspect, or I want to ensure that when I go to dinner tomorrow night with some friends that I don't have Omicron. So I want to get a rapid test. None are available at the chemist, supermarket, anywhere. Apparently I can drive up to one of the public testing facilities, and there's a different entrance where I can go in and get a couple. Is that right? I mean, that sounds a bit...
I don't think they've sorted it all out yet. No. And, you know, it is really, really strange and bizarre when you want to do the right thing, protect your friends, to protect anybody going out to sea, and we just the government makes it hard for that to happen.
And, you know, again, you know, the collapse of the ability to test, and I understand there's more positive tests, so the process is a little bit different in terms of that. But wasn't like, oh my God, if I stand on the railway line, eventually a train will come. Didn't they think, oh well, if you've got to get tested to go into state, and everyone wants to go into state, and we now allow you to, people might get tested. Oh,
like, and if it's you know, Christmas and New Year are times when people actually meet up, and there might be a lot of people meeting up with each other, you know. But what was also interesting is the Commonwealth Government, what's called the Therapeutic Goods Administration, the body that approves tests and so on, didn't get round to approving rapid antigen tests until mid-October of this year, of last year, mid-October of 2021. And so it was really late in actually even approving these things for use in Australia. And you think, well, why on earth was that? And it contributed to this idea that rapid antigen tests just weren't good enough and we shouldn't be using them. We should only be using PCR tests. With the result that we had queues 6 hours long for PCR testing over Christmas.
Now, in a previous life, Stephen, you know, you've worked in the health bureaucracy. You understand how it works. What the hell is going on? Like, seriously. I mean, are they all on drugs or something? Like, what's going on? What's going on?
Well, Macca, There were some announcements over Christmas about changing the rules about 4 hour, you know, a close contact. If you were only in the same room with someone for 3 hours and 59 minutes, that wasn't a close contact, but 1 minute longer you were. I cannot believe that decision was made on the advice of anybody in the Commonwealth Department of Health. I just do not believe that anybody there would have given that advice. So my suspicion is these things were mainly politically driven. You know, the question was not how do we protect the public health of Australians, but rather how do we deal with the political problem of too many people waiting in the line for PCR tests. And so they said, well, reduce the number of people who have to stand in line waiting for PCR tests. So let's invent this new definition.
Sounds like a Donald Trump idea. Well, they test so many, just stop testing people and we won't have as many infections.
Exactly.
Dearie
me. It's Katie here. Stephen, you are the Health and Aged Care Program Director at the Grattan Institute. My dad is in an aged care facility and he's in a high end one, and they've had a couple of cases. They had a case where a resident was taken to hospital for another reason entirely, but when they were there, they were given a PCR test and came back positive for COVID. So after that, of course, the facility tested all of the residents, and they've all been confined to their rooms, and they've had a couple more positive tests, but so far only two, which is good news. But my poor old dad, you know, 1 week after the death of his wife of 65 years, has been confined to his room. He's not even allowed to leave his room, which, you know, in one way, I'm very grateful for, because it means he'll be okay. And they've all been triple vaxxed at this place. But, you know, it's after the past couple of years and people not being able to see their elderly relatives, not being able to go to their funerals, it's just, you know, adding insult to injury.
I think we expect, Katie and Stephen, I think we expect a better level of professionalism from the health departments. Well, actually, you know, I don't want to criticise them, but the messages that we're getting, and I find I'm not a stupid person generally. I find it quite hard to follow. And it's the messaging more than anything else, and the inconsistent messages, isn't it, Stephen?
So someone asked me to make commentary on the National Cabinet decisions, and so I read through the transcript of the media conference that the Prime Minister had to try and understand what the decision was and what the implications were, and I could not understand what was actually being proposed and what it actually meant on the ground. And I, you know, the communication about what is happening and what it means for us and how we respond is just so confusing. You know, there are simple messages you can have, like, you know, if you're symptomatic, go and get a PCR. If you're not symptomatic, use a rapid antigen. But we're not actually doing that. We're making it just so much more complicated and making it very hard for people to understand what is the right thing to do, what they're allowed to do in which circumstances, and, of course, the rules are different in different states.
Yeah, and, Stephen, you work in the sector, and if you don't understand it, what hope do people who perhaps don't have English as a first language, perhaps...
What hope is a 95-year-old guy in aged care who's still got his... working brain. He can't work it out either. None of us have got a chance.
No. It's very poor, and I hope that whoever wins the next election employs better communications people, although we just don't know. It might be that the decisions coming to the top are just impossible for the highly trained communications staff to make clear. Where in the chain of command is this confusion coming from, I ask you?
Or that it might, Katie, be that decisions are being made on the run.
Yeah.
And so the communication staff don't have the time to get the messaging right.
Yeah. I mean, I hesitate in any situation to blame the actual, you know, employees who have to do the bidding of the people in power, because I'm a book editor by trade, and the only time editors get criticised is if people discover a mistake in a book, but you don't know what's gone on. You don't know what's gone on behind the scenes. The author might have not accepted that particular change that you recommended, and so we can only do what the people we're employed by ask us to do.
Yeah,
in closing, Stephen, you know, I'm not asking you to predict numbers or, you know, there's, I suppose, a lot of people are holding out some hope that Omicron will peak soon, probably because we'll run out of people to infect. You know, what's your best guess or what you'd like to see happen, combining the two, you know, for the future for us, you know, in COVID, and particularly Omicron? What do you think's, how's it going to play out?
Oh, that's a good lead in, Macca. So the question is, you know, how do you feel about 2022?
Yeah.
And the answer is, of course, positive.
Right.
Boom, boom.
Okay.
So the reality is, yes, COVID is going to spread. Omicron is going to spread. The peak in the community precedes a peak of hospitalisations by up to a fortnight. And so we don't know how badly the health system is going to be affected by this, and that's something I seriously worry about. So, and then of course we know that there'll be eventually another another variant comes along, and we don't know whether it's going to be more virulent than Omicron or not. But basically, we have to keep on making sure we've got our third dose,
yes,
and keep on doing some of these low-level public health protections like mask wearing on public transport and indoors.
Yeah. Thanks for your time, Stephen. Unfortunately, we've run out of time. It's always great to speak with you. I'm a great admirer of your work and what you write. Thank you for taking the time this morning to speak to us. It's much appreciated.
Thanks, Macca. Thanks, Katie.
Cheers.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.